Well, I love the city of Thornton. It's a place where people can better afford than some of the surrounding cities around us, and so it's a place to create a home. I love our neighborhoods that we have, that we name them all as an attempt to show it's a place of community, that you can truly find relationships and friendships there. We have proximity to so much that's great in this state while having a place that's still of comfort and safety. For me specifically, it's a place where we have been able to make a home of consistency, more so than Emily and I have had in our marriage thus far. It's a place where we became parents. We also have the Costco. There's all kinds of great things that are fantastic about the city of Thornton. But it's a city that certainly still has some drawbacks. While deciding on dinner, it basically comes down to which of the 129 different fast food places do we want to go to? Or we see new construction going in and there's excitement that comes of what will this place be? Will it be a family-owned restaurant or some sort of local establishment, only for all of that to be crushed as it's just another gas station that's going up across the street from a different gas station? Or we see all these new communities going in, which comes with it some joy of people get to come. We have new neighbors coming in, only to realize that that means new traffic lights are going up as well. And they really did not need to slow down my commute anymore. Let alone the growing gap in the city between wealth to the north and the increasing needs south of here. Every place that I've lived has pieces that are wonderful and other parts that are difficult, challenges. But as well, every place that I've lived in has a purpose, has something that God has for me there. I mean, that's true of all people, in all places. But rarely is that so easy to discover as it was for Israel when they began to make their home in Babylon. I mean, when we look at this time of their life, it's hard to say that anything about it is good. It's hard to see what God's purpose is for it. The Israelites had land that was given to them to be their home, where God would be their God and they would be his people. It was their place, their home that God had given to them. But now it was gone. After centuries of turning away from him, of rebelling against God, God allowed them to be conquered. They were exiled, removed from their home, and put into the land of Babylon, their enemies. But rather than leaving his people there to feel their way through it, to discover what their purpose might be, to see what was good about leaving their home and going into this foreign land, God told them exactly what had happened, exactly what was about to happen. This was verse 4 again that Sarah had read for us. Jeremiah 29, verse 4 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Notice what it said, "I have sent into exile." While it was true that Israel was leaving their home because they were conquered, because they were overwhelmed by Babylon, it was more accurate to say that they were going to this place because that was where God was sending them. That was the place that God had for them. That was where he was taking them. In every place that we have, we can always look at the reason for it, but see the ultimate reason as well, that this is the place where God was taking us. For Israel, it was not just so that God was going to continue to work through them in this place, but for them to learn their dependence on him, but also for those around, those in this place that had never heard this God before. God was sending them there so that they might see that there is one God, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. What brought you to Thornton? Or maybe you don't live here. Maybe it's North Glen or Westminster or Broomfield or Henderson or wherever it is that you call home. What brought you there? Maybe you grew up in the area, or you entered into a relationship with someone who did. Maybe work relocated, or you found a job in the area. Or maybe this was the place that you could buy a home or set up a life for you. Whatever the reason, that reason is true, very much so. But it's not the ultimate reason. The ultimate reason why you are here is always the same. God sent you here. God has something ahead of you, that is for his purpose of bringing you here, exactly here. God is always the ultimate reason for what occurs in all of life. We see that in this passage as well. Look at verse 5 again if you have the text in front of you. It says, "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and gives your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare, you will find your welfare. God tells Israel as they're going into this foreign land to set up lives for themselves, to be there for the long haul, to see their lives not in the moments, in the days, in the years, but see it in terms of generations, that they are leaving a lasting impact in this place, because it's not just about the moments that they spend there, but as they build their lives, as they tie their future to this place, it has this lasting impact. And that especially flies in the face of some other messaging that was going on at the time. We read about that in the chapter before in Jeremiah 28, or even this chapter in verse 8 goes into it as well. See, there were other prophets at the time, other people who were claiming to speak on behalf of God that was telling Israel, hey, look around you. Look at Babylon. Look at how evil it is, how there's nothing good here, how foreign it is from what God has for you. You really think God's going to leave you here? You really think God's not going to take care of his people, not going to punish your enemies? No, we're going to be here 2 years tops. Keep those things in boxes. Don't unpack your bags, because God will rescue you. And what God is saying here through his actual prophets is, yeah, I will. Ultimately, I will judge all those who go against you. But your job is not to guess when. Your job is not to make predictions as to when that might be. Your job is not to bail on this place I've sent you to, but to be faithful where I'm sending you to. That's what he calls for Israel to do in these 70 years they spent in Babylon. That's what he calls for them always to do, wherever they are. Be faithful. The charge here as they go into exile is summarized into this one phrase, seek the welfare of the city. The idea has to it this idea of peace. Like, don't make waves, don't stir up trouble, make sure that things are going well, that it's harmonious, but it's more than that as well. It isn't just keep your head down and you'll make it through okay. Isn't it just don't draw attention to yourself and God will bring you out eventually. It's an active idea. Seek the welfare of the city. Do good. Work however you can so that things will go well for this place, go well for those who live there, that it might flourish for them in every way, that their lives may be improved. We have a great rule of the trails or campsites, don't we? We embody it with our wilderness organization that we send out over summer. It's leave no trace. So that other people, as they come behind you, won't see your mess or how it's been diminished, but can enjoy the place as you got to enjoy it. But when God sends people into a place, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say leave no trace. He says make every trace possible. Leave it better off than what you found it as. Do whatever you can so that people will know that there is a God working in their lives. Do whatever you can so that things will go good in the place that I'm sending you to. The instruction continues in verse 7. It says, seek the welfare of the city, like we talked about, because in its welfare, you will find your welfare. And that makes sense on a transactional level, right? Like, if things go well for the city, well, it's going to go better for me. Kind of like if I do good at my job, then I will get better job security and potentially a raise, you know. Ideally, if I'm a good citizen, well, then that's just going to impact the resale value of my home down the line. So it's in my best interest to do this. But the instruction here is not transactional. It's not see what you can get out of this exchange. Put in good so you can get good. No, God is telling them to go beyond that. He says, pray for the city. Pray for Babylon. Think about what this is telling Israel to do. You know that place that just conquered you? You know that place that just ripped you out of your home? You know that place that is actively trying to get you to follow their gods rather than the one true God? Pray for their good. See, when you pray for something, that's not just, I want good out of this exchange. That comes from genuine care. That comes from desire to see God do something in their lives. Not just what you can get out of it, but God, I genuinely care about this place. If you begin to pray for someone that you don't like, it's going to change you. And God told them, pray for this place, Babylon, for their good, for their sakes, for good to come out of this place. And that's always God's instruction. In the place where he has his people, the instruction is put down roots. Invest in that place that I have you. Pray for that place. To do all that you can as my followers to make things go better for those around you. And maybe we push back on this a little bit. We're reading out of Jeremiah 29. This is a chapter written to Israel as they're going into exile. The one thing that we always say is don't just read yourself into a passage. Try to understand what happened then so we can understand it now. If I'm up here saying this is what it means for us to do this exact same thing, well, I mean, we're not going into exile. We're not going into Babylon. And that's right. That's a good principle for reading the Bible. One small pushback, though. 1 Peter 1, James 1, they describe the Christian life as that of being on exile. The life of Christians now is one of exile, of people sent to a place by God, but all the while longing for a greater home that is to come. Our life now is described by a very similar place of Israel. But maybe we say, well, Babylon's not the same. We're not going into a place as terrible as that. And that's right. Thornton has so much good to it, but still a place that needs, has lack. There's still so much that we could do to seek the welfare of this place, because one thing that we know is God cares about every place. So how do we care about the place he has us? Or maybe we go to the other side of like, how can I seek the good of this place where I am right now when there's so much broken, there's so much hardship? I read the news and there's so much that's going away from what God has for the world. Seek the good of this place? Well, Babylon was a place that had nothing to do with God. It killed God's people, tried to force false beliefs on them. And God told his people, seek the welfare of that place. Whatever we might say about our current place, it's not as though it's going to be someplace worse, where we might find the one spot that we would say, that God would say, oh, but not there. Now, there's nothing that would make the call from God to seek the welfare of a city invalid for his people. There's no law that could be passed that would have been different from what Israel had to endure and yet seek the good of those who passed it. There's no cultural trend that could feel so foreign from the ways of God that would have exceeded what Israel felt pulled towards and yet still love those who were embracing it. Because no matter what, God cares about the place his people are. And the message for his people will always be the same. Seek the welfare of the city. And that's what we try to do as a church. We try to operate in a way that we don't just rush to get inside those doors on a Sunday and shut them quickly behind us so we don't get any Thornton cooties on us as we go in. No, we want to remind ourselves as much as possible that as we tell the incredible story of this building, we launched as a church 4.5 years ago with a building. That's a rare thing. As much as we have memories tied to this place, of baptisms we've seen, of child dedications, of moments of following Jesus more clearly, of people being there to support us when we are going through hard times, as much as we have stories like that, so much to be grateful for this place, that it's not something given just for us. It's a place that God has given to us as he put us here in the city of Thornton to seek the welfare of the city of Thornton. So we try to do that. We partner with resources in the city. We try to give away as much as we can. We partner with schools and local organizations. We have benevolence to try to help meet tangible needs. We do whatever we can to seek the welfare of the city God has us in. But it's what we do as individuals as well. For everything, we seek the welfare ourselves. For everything to go well in this place God has sent us to. For it to flourish in every avenue of life, financially, relationally, spiritually, to see ourselves not just as people passing through, which I know is hard to do in a transient age, but wherever God has us, it's not merely as a pit stop. Don't keep those bags packed. Undo those boxes. Empty them out. Find a spot on the shelf for those things that matter to you, because it's the idea of God has me here, and there's a reason for that. And until the day that that is accomplished, I want to see what I can do to meet the needs, to seek the welfare, to be in this place God has me, and see my life not just in moments and days of impact, but generations of faithfulness. And that can only happen if we show up consistently, invest in a place, tie our future to it, to make an impact here in the way God calls his people to. And so we build homes, or we buy them pre-built, or we rent. We eat the produce that we produce, or more likely, we go to the local King Supers. We plant gardens. I mean, metaphorically, we're not going back to having a church garden. That was a mistake. But the idea is we see our life not just in what's temporary, but to understand God has me here to seek the welfare of this place. We tie our future to the place that God has for us. And I think the best thing that we could do for the city, the best way that we can seek its welfare in this upcoming year, as we are kicking off the fall season, that's part of what we're going to do in a bit with lawn games and slip and slides and being in a dunk tank. It's not just for the fun of it, though two of those things sound fun. It's the idea of we see God launching new things or relaunching things in this fall. And as we're excited for what God might do, let's look at how can we make an impact in the city. And I think the greatest way that we could do so, in addition to all the ways we try to meet tangible needs, the best thing that we as Calvary Bible Church in the city of Thornton can do for the city of Thornton is to follow Jesus and help others to do the same. Follow Jesus and help others to do the same. Next week, we launch our series out of the Gospel of John. It's this book that's entirely focused on the person of Jesus. Who is he? What has he done? Why do we make such a big deal about this Jesus? And that's what the book of John is about. We're going to look entirely at this Jesus. But at the end of his ministry, in a different gospel, in the Gospel of Matthew, he gives instructions for his disciples, for those who are following him. And it sounds an awful lot like the instructions God gave to Israel as they were going out. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." See, when God sent Israel into Babylon, he promised that he was with them. He promised he was not done working through them. He gave them instruction about what they should be doing with their lives, and he told them to live in a way that would bring good in every facet of life for those around them. And when Jesus sends his disciples into the world, he tells them to do the exact same four things: that he is with them, that he is working through them. He gives them instruction of what they are to do with their lives to help people see the greatest good that impacts every facet of life. And sure enough, it also involves going in strange and new places, yet they could do so because they were armed with a purpose. Seek the welfare of those who are around you. And that instruction is true for us. This is what Jesus tells all of his followers to do, to make disciples of all nations. And what did you know? The city of Thornton is included in that. This is why I led with the best thing that we could do for the city is to follow Jesus ourselves, to be disciples of his, to follow him us first, and then to help others to do the same. That as we both know him and participate in the work that he is doing for us, in us, that changes us. That's what transforms us. That's what enables us to pray and seek the good of a place that's so full of good, but it's not fully home. It's not fully what we need. It's full of things like those traffic lights. But every time I see red, I certainly see red. Now, I know this is going to sound redundant because we always say it, but following Jesus is the most important thing that you could do with your life. As we see him, the work that he has done, the person that he is, as we see that he is the source of all life, not just that we have it, but the quality of life that we have that's found in him and nowhere else. That he is our light in the darkness, our guidance when we don't know where to go. In him, we have access to our creator, the everlasting, ever-loving, powerful, patient, mighty God who never gives up on his people. That is what we have in Jesus. He is the one who provides for us and cares for us as our shepherd. He is making a home for us that fulfills every need that we every desire that we have that will never fall, never fail, ever. In him, we see truth, not flimsy, flippant, our truth, but genuine truth when that's becoming increasingly difficult to know who to trust or to know what is real. He is our source, not just as our creator, not just the one who gives us life, but every day, every second of the life he has given to us, he provides for us what we need. This Jesus, and this Jesus alone is worthy of following. Let this time, this moment right now, August 17th, let this moment be one that launches us into truly seeking to follow Jesus more so than we ever have before. More so than we ever have before. whether you are new to church or new to taking church seriously, or the only Sunday that you can recall not being inside of a church is when we force you to go outside on the lawn. Wherever you are in your relationship with following Jesus, let this be the time that you seek to truly follow after him. Because there is nothing, nothing better that you could do with your fall, your life, than to seek to follow him. Now, I know that we wrapped up our Connect and Serve Expos last week, but where we were highlighting all the places that we help to try to help follow Jesus. But it's never too late to sign up for all that we are offering. But if I could be so bold as to push you in a particular direction, it would be to point you towards a class that we're launching in about a month from now. A class that we've titled exactly this. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, we're giving a class on discipleship. The idea being that while I recognize it's a longer course than we typically offer, that there's work that we're going to be doing together on it. But as we're saying, the most important thing that we could do with our life is follow Jesus. So we want to take that seriously. We want to together work towards this idea to know what it means that we are followers. We are disciples of Jesus. That the best thing that we could be doing is gather around other Christians to learn what it means to be Christians, to help one another, spur each other on, be a source of encouragement and holding each other accountable towards this end. We have a class on discipleship launching in about a month from now so we can take seriously this call to first be disciples. But that's only part of what Jesus calls us to do. The other one is to go and help others to be disciples, to help others to follow him. That was the call to them. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go wherever Jesus is sending people, wherever Jesus is taking you, in that place, what you can do to seek the welfare of the city is help others to know this Jesus, to know that there is a good God doing work in their life. Whether this is the neighborhood that God has put you in, uniquely put you in, so you can tell others of the hope that you have found in him, or the place of work that he's given to you, that you might live in a way that others can see that you are seeking their welfare. Or this church that God has given to us, that he has gifted you in a way to serve those inside the walls and out, to know that there is a God who loves and cares and provides life. Now, I know that can be intimidating. It comes with it worry and wondering, what does that even look like? What do I say? What do I do? Over the next year, we're going to be giving some tools that can help in this process of making disciples of all nations. You know, it's going to be part of the discipleship class as well. You can get a head start by being part of that. But beyond just growing in content, awareness, understanding, the source of comfort of how do we do this is given to us in this passage, is given to us by Jesus. Just as God sent Israel into the land of their enemies, telling them to do what seemed impossible, seek the welfare of your enemies, God has you right where you are to follow him and help others to do the same. But we're not sent out by our own strength, our own power, our own eloquence, the ability to answer questions, how much Bible knowledge that we have. We're never going to get stumped. That's not where this comes from. Instead, the power comes from what we are given to do it. First and foremost, what we have is a better story. Everyone around us, this whole city is a place that is looking for purpose and meaning and significance. And what we have is a story that does exactly that. The story of a God who loved this world so much, he sent his son. Who doesn't just provide us with what we need, what we're longing, what we're looking for in life, but takes away all that would defeat and steal and plague us. That he comes and lives this perfect life, dies a death that he does not deserve so that we can have life in him. Life everlasting, life abundantly, life here, now, and forever. But that's not the end of the story. And that's not the end of what we have, because that same Jesus who died so that we might have life was raised back to life himself. And that is the reason why, because he's not in a tomb somewhere, but because he was raised back to life, that he can say to his disciples here in Matthew 28, but can say to you as well, I am with you always. A Jesus in the tomb can't say anything, but a Jesus who is alive can say and promise and mean it when he says, I am with you always. And armed with that, our lives are changed. With a message like that, we can do so much good in the city of Thornton. Let me pray for us. Father, we are grateful for this reminder that you have put us in a place, not merely with a building, not merely with the resources that you've given to us, and we're so grateful for that. We will never fully express our gratitude for that. But you have put us in this place for a reason. There's any number of streets we could have been on, but we're here on St. Paul. There's any number of cities that we could have been in, but we're here in Thornton. And same for our individual lives as well. We've lived in different homes or the same home, and there's different circumstances that can bring us to or away from places, and yet you have us exactly where you have sent us to. But we aren't just here aimlessly. We aren't just here to wonder, what does God want from me? You are very clear. Seek the welfare of the city. Be followers of me. Help others to do the same. God, as we go into this fall, let us take this charge seriously. That you've given us a purpose and direction. You've given us life and fullness. And so what we do with it, we want to honor you. We want to be faithful followers who help others to do the same. So it's you and you alone we pray. Amen.